Go to bbc.co.uk/proms for what's on, where to start, and to hear each and every BBC Proms concert from the Royal Albert Hall in glorious HD sound.
It's always dangerous to talk about extraordinary proms evenings, but surely this really is one for the history books.
From the very first upbeat to the very last encore, all online at bbc.co.uk/proms.
And we're back at the BBC Proms live at 7:30 tomorrow night. And you can also watch video highlights from the season at the Proms website. It includes each of the Monday lunchtime chamber music proms. That's all online at bbc.co.uk/proms. This is BBC Radio 3. We're broadcasting between 90 and 93 FM on digital radio and in high definition sound online. Time now is 11 o'clock. Time for a special week of Late Junction. Here's Max Reinhardt.
Welcome to Late Junction and the first of our three programmes this week from the Latitude Festival. We've lovingly curated a stage in the exquisite lavish lounge in the woods, and today we're going to bring you 21st century Gnawa music from Electric Djalibar. An amazing shamanic performance from Tyneside bard Richard Dawson.
Bye.
And some high-energy world jazz rock from Melt Yourself Down. We're going to be recording some sessions in our studio truck and some interviews, and no doubt there'll be some interesting chance encounters round and about the festival. But right now, let's dip into that mad, bad jazz set from Melt Yourself Down.
Oh,
a little taste there of what Melt Yourself Down can do, and we're going to hear much more of them towards the end of the programme. But right now, backstage here at the Lavish Lounge, I've got an expectant Electric Jalaba waiting to go on, and they're going to have a little chat with me first. Good evening.
Hey, good evening, mate.
And actually, I have three people here. Simo Lagnawi, you're from Morocco.
Yes.
And in fact, you bring Gnawa to this band.
Yes.
Gnawa music is the music of Morocco, and it's mostly done on the gembri that you play, that big bass instrument.
Yes, Gnawa music is lots of things around art and dance. You got like music and theater and dance, acrobatic dance, and lots of things between the drum, big drum, and the karakabs and gembri and the singing.
And the karakabs are the metal castanets that we're going to hear very soon. Okay, now, the thing is, so you're a musician bringing this new music to this country, and there was a band waiting for it to happen.
Kind of, yeah.
Sound Species?
Sound Species is a moniker we use to represent all sorts of music that we make. And at the time when we were playing a festival, we were representing some sort of West African flavours in our music.
And is that because one of you had studied West African music?
I had travelled a bit in Mali and Senegal and learnt some grooves over there and wrote a project, brought it back to my brotherhood.
And it really is a brotherhood, isn't it? There are four of you brothers.
That's right.
The Keens.
That's correct. I must add, we've got a drummer who's not from the same mother or father, but a brother all the same. It's Dave the Rose, plays in the band as well.
So four brothers and another.
Yeah. So we were playing this West African Bamana project. It came out in 2011.
And how did you meet Simo?
We were both at the same festival. It was late in the night, and we just heard this mesmerising sound coming out of the North African tea tent, and Simo was there doing his thing, and we were all drawn inside. And we organised a jam session back in London, and very quickly we realised it was something really strong. So Simo was playing his Gnawa music and we would just react and interpret it.
And it is a call and response music, isn't it? So you were doing your own responses.
Exactly.
And some of it was on guitar and some of it was on electronics. Mm. And Simo, I mean, it's music of healing, it's music of trance.
Yes, it's healing and spiritual music.
And how do you think that works in an electric context?
Actually, if you hear the gembri, when we do the pickup, you're going to hear it as like a really bassy and electronic instrument by the effect and lots of things, yeah.
Well, gentlemen, it's on stage time for Electric Jalaba. You better go. spaced out Gnawa there from Electric Jalaba, and we'll be hearing more of that set later in the show. Very soon, we've got a positively shamanic set from Richard Dawson, which should not be missed, and a little something from the set Calexico, recorded on the Six Music stage. Oh, and we've got an interview coming up with none other than Richard Thompson. For full details of all the music, plus pictures and video of what's happening here at the Latitude Festival, just go to the Radio 3 website.
You're listening
to Lake Junction
at Latitude.
So I'm having a wander around the Latitude Festival, and I've suddenly come upon this sound installation called The Hive, and even met the artist who put it together, Nick Franklin. Hi, Nick.
Hello, Max.
Nick, you were a founder member, I understand, of Lemon Jelly.
I was. I still am a founder member, yes.
Yeah, you would be, wouldn't you? Because there's still Lemon Jelly and there's still you. Yeah. Anyway, this is an amazing thing, The Hive. Inside, there seem to be at least 50 radios. Is that true?
Yeah, 50-something radios in there. And there are old ones and new ones. So there's a lot of DAB ones around the outside. And then there's lots of ones that I bought second-hand. So transistor radios from the 70s and the 80s. All different source. Real sort of mishmash of radios in there.
And they're all tuned to a different station.
That's correct. Yeah, that's the point of this, is to have every single station you could pick up in one area playing at the same time, simultaneously in one enclosed space.
This is all about the multiplicity of sources that face us kind of every breath we take now.
Yeah, and it's about audio streaming, it's about filtration, it's about how we cope with this amount of information arriving in your head simultaneously. It's about how we make sense of it. How do we focus on some things, how we disregard other ones, how we make sense of the chaos that this initially seems to be.
Okay, let's go in and see what it's like inside.
Yes, go to Barcelona to continue his treatment.
Well, we're right in the middle of the canvas-covered geodesic dome that the 65-odd radios all around the circumference are making this amazing noise, and it is like the buzz of bees. That's presumably why you called it The Hive.
Yeah, no, yes, it is.
So I can't be sure with this many radios on, but are any of them tuned to Radio 3?
I think over this way here, I think, yes. Yes, there are. There's one tuned to Radio 3. There's one tuned to every radio station. Yes, there is.
How long do people stay in here, on average, do you think?
People either walk in and turn around, go, my God, that sounds like hell, or they creep around on the floor, going, my God, picking up the sounds from each of the radios and just really engaging with it. So it's either 10 seconds or about 10 minutes.
Well, thank you very much, Nick Franklin, for showing us around Hive and indeed for creating such an extraordinary installation. Now it's time for me to nip back to our studio truck, where I've got a date with legendary indie band Yola Tengo from Hoboken, New Jersey. Yola Tengo, a pleasure to meet you. And here we are in our truck, the Lake Junction truck. It is this weekend, anyway.
Hi, Max.
Hello, and I've got Ira.
Hello.
Who is married, I believe, to Georgia. And you've been in the band since it started, 30 years ago.
Nearly.
But we also have a third person here who's right. Only been in the band 20 years.
A mere 20 odd years, yes.
And your name is, of course, James McNair.
Yes, it is.
And you're the bass player.
I am the bass player.
And George is the drummer.
Yes.
And Ira plays guitars. But I noticed that there are no drums in the truck, Georgia. Is there a reason for that? Is it to do with the size of the truck?
That and the bumpy trolley ride over. I don't know.
I mean, there are lots of exciting things about you. But one of the things that intrigues me is that you did play the parts of being in the Velvet Underground in the film I Shot Andy Warhol. Who was Lou Reed?
I guess that would have been me. I mean, our friend Tara Key was the other guitar player, so I don't think it was ever clear which one of us was Lou and which one of us was Sterling. But we were not singing at the time, so.
And you've got this reputation for playing lots of covers of people's tunes on stage, as well as your own splendid tunes. Do you play tunes by love?
We have. When Arthur Lee got ill, whatever year that was, we performed at a benefit for him, and Johnny Eccles from Love was at that benefit as well. He played with Robert Plant, and then he sang Sign DC with us, which was pretty exciting.
Did you ever do The Castle?
No, we've done, what did we do? That we did Message to Pretty and House is Not a Motel. I think those.
Lucy Baines.
Lucy Baines, that's right.
Orange Skies.
Pre-love Arthur Lee.
Okay, and I just have read that you are completely Love fans and they were a major influence. And you can still hear it on your new album that there's... It's just, I think it's when that kind of distant brass comes in that you've got on some tracks. It just does remind me of what Arthur Lee used to do.
See that.
Particularly on Forever Changes. So what are you going to play for us today? Because you've got 30 years worth of material and you've got this reputation for playing covers. What is your tune going to be?
The first song on our new album. So we're going to do Ohm, the first song from Fade.
And can you tell us a little bit about that song?
Well, I can tell you that when you introduce James as being the bassist and George as the drummer and me as the guitarist, in the course of a show, everybody tends to, I think, almost every show, people play different instruments. And one of the things that we enjoy about doing sessions like this is the chance to play songs differently than we play them on stage or on the record. So this will not be what the song sounds like on the record.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Yola Tengo. Pleasure to meet you.
Sometimes the bad guys come out on top. Sometimes the good guys lose. We try not to lose our hearts, not to lose our minds. Sometimes the bad days maintain their grip. Sometimes the good days fade. Hurts the brain to think. Hurts the head to drink. But nothing ever stays the same. Nothing's explained. The higher we go, the longer we fly. Cause this is it for all we know. So say to me and lose no more time, no time. Resisting the flow. Well, I heard you calling from far away. I thought I heard you cry. Hadn't the voice to make it right, so I just cried. Well, I felt you slipping away before I could even see. Tried once more, lost my grip, you were gone. Never stays the same. Nothing's explained. The longer it takes, the looser the ties. Cause this is it for all we know. So say goodnight to me. Resisting the flow. Thank you. stronger the way, the faster we fly. Cause this is it for all we know. So say good night to me and lose no more time, no time. Resisting the flow. 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 Resisting the flow.
So thanks very much to Yola Tengo, and that was Ohm from their latest album, Fade, and it was great to meet them and great to actually get in touch with their music. We're about to have Richard Dawson on our stage here in the Lavish Lounge at the Latitude Festival, but right now I'm backstage with Richard. Hello, Richard.
Howdy.
You are really an extraordinary performer. And I think that there are too few extraordinary performers on this earth. How do you think that you reached a position where you can give performances where you're just expressing yourself in such an extreme and extraordinary way?
The aim is that it's extraordinary for me, hopefully, and then hopefully other people enjoy it, but I just want to be as direct as possible.
But when you see most performers, you know, say they're singer-guitarists, and in some ways you are a singer-guitarist, yeah. That's an inadequate description, but in some ways that's what you are. You tend to think of somebody who's a man or a woman sitting by a mic, singing in a nice song.
I'm a man.
Yes. Well, yeah. But do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
And you necessarily think that a mighty elemental voice is going to come out and seize you by your very being. That's what happens if I'm in your audience. That's what's happening to me.
I hear like a lot of like what you call singer-songwriter music, and it seems that it's only informed by other singer-songwriters, that's all I hear in it, whereas I'm not too interested in that music generally. There
are exceptions. So what does inform you? That's what I'd like to know.
Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan, Qawwali, just that kind of channeling. It's not really about them. They're trying to channel something through something of, I think the Sufis call it the Kalb. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but Rumi writes about it. And the world hidden beneath the world. It's almost like the unseen plane. What I hear with Nusrat's music and a few other singers, like, who was it? Had Tilahun Gesses, you know, the Ethiopic series.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's another one of those guys, and it's not necessarily about being loud or singing full bore, but there's something of, you know, seeing each thing you do as a brushstroke or a smoothing of an area on a sculpture or something like that, just trying to channel what already exists, wants to become solid.
So on Lake Junction, Fiona and I have been playing quite a lot of your latest album, which is called The Glass Trunk.
Thank you.
Which was a commission from Tyne and Wear Archives. Did it put you back in touch with kind of the myths and legends and lore of Tyneside, or does that all run through your head anyway?
It definitely increased it. Basically, when the remit was just to go into the archives and find anything and react to anything. So what we actually found was kind of led by it sounds ridiculous, but the first searches I did were things like typing in death or accidents. So it was a lot of those things, the more macabre side of things that was leading the way. But then once you find one story and a bunch of things, it leads you in unexpected paths. So I had an interest, obviously, kind of interest in folk musics and in Newcastle anyway, but it definitely increased it more. I mean, I never would have thought, or never would have described it, anything I did as being folk before, whereas this album quite clearly is some form of folk.
Yeah, well, it's really fascinating what happens. But now it's time for us to hear Richard Dawson live on stage in the Lavish Lounge at the Latitude Festival. Thank you.
was beaten and robbed by a band of moon-faced vagabonds. They were rifling through my pockets and untying my shoes. When the of lightning illuminates the belly of the beast. I see entrails dripping in the trees. So is the black dog in the sky.
I'd like to introduce you to my band. On drums is my grandma. She was a master butcher. And on double bass, my granddad, Duncan Finlay. He had his own painting and decorating business. He had a what do they call Hyundai Daihatsu? Is that a car? I don't know anything about cars. I used to paint it with house paint. So over the years, it got bigger and bigger until it was a really massive car. Anyway, he's on double bass. Then we've got my cats from when I was a boy, Bonnie, and then Bonnie's daughter, Smokey, and Tumble. Tumble got knocked down. They're all on double bass. My Uncle Derek. And then there's a couple of blokes I don't recognize. I don't know what's going on there. They're pretty old. They're on double bass too.
Of wood rolling down the high street.
silence of the dead, a slow coagulation of the sky, drowning out the song about three guys in Gateshead killing a horse. Pop.
At Gateshead in a tanner's yard, three young men were jawing hard. A poor old horse they'd fixed to kill. Befell a task too dexterous, Bill. Poor old horse, poor old horse. Hear what they did to the poor old horse. His palms around the hilt of the axe delivered such a horrible blow. The horse emerged a strangled cry. He glanced it just above the eye. Poor old horse, poor old horse. Hear what they did to the poor old horse. And now to put it out of pain, Billy took another aim.
The horse fair shook the man he cursed, for the second blow was much like the first. Poor old horse, poor old horse, hear what they did to the poor old horse. He kept up thumping on its head, and then he worked the body instead. The air grew cloudy with breath so hot of man, a beast a-meddling. Poor old horse, poor old horse, hear what they did to the poor old horse. I'll try no conceded Bill, so up stepped Ned to test his skill. He whacked the poor thing on the nose, he sprained his wrist and bloodied his clothes. Poor old horse, poor old horse, hear what they did to the poor old horse. The foreman came then with his knife, determined for to take its life. He took his aim and thrust it home. Alas, he hit the collarbone. Poor old horse, poor old horse. Its leg with a rusty spade, then all upon it heavily laid. To quell the struggle each did their part, until the blade had reached its heart. Poor old horse, poor old horse, hear what they did to the poor old horse. Now each he goes his separate path, for a cup full of ale or a nice hot bath, a kiss on the lips of a wife newly wed, or a look at the baby sleeping in bed. Poor old horse, poor old horse, hear what they did to the poor old horse. Poor old horse, poor old horse, hear what they did to the poor old horse.
Richard Dawson there. A unique and extraordinary performance. Funny, sad, and totally transporting. I mean, you were in the audience. What did you think?
I thought he was absolutely fantastic. I mean, one minute we were literally, you know, screeching with laughter and quite shocked in some ways, but really laughing. And then suddenly it would go really poignant and then back into the really funny bit. And then his beautiful voice, really lovely, going all over the place. And then suddenly an edge of discordance, but just completely perfect. Really lovely.
Yeah, there should be more people like him. Well, thank you very much. What's your name?
It's Roz.
Okay, thanks very much, Roz. Now, I promised you some Calexico, a little slice of their live set from the stage that Six Music have here at the Latitude Festival. Calexico are Joey Burns and John Cofatino. They bring mariachi, Tejano and Morricone to Americana. They kind of sweep you into the American Southwest and the shimmering horizons of the Arizona desert. Their new album, Algiers, in my opinion, is their best album for 10 years, so I'm really looking forward to seeing what they sound like today.
You guys doing good so far? Calexico. It's amazing to think that they're so much more successful in Europe than they are in the United States. Not long now till our interview with one of the greatest living English songwriters. Fairport fans, stay tuned for that. Right now, we're going to hear more from Malem Simo Lagnawi and Electric Jalaba from our Lake Junction stage over in the Lavish Lounge.
Thank you very much. Thank you. You are really crazy, another band.
You're listening
to Lake Junction
at Latitude.
We've been wandering around the site and we're actually behind the BBC Six music stage and we're having a little chat with Richard Thompson.
Good afternoon, good evening, good afternoon, good morning.
So how do you think that your songwriting has changed in your long and fabulous career?
It hasn't changed that much, I don't think. I think I've got better at doing it.
Are there techniques that you use now that you wouldn't have?
Well, probably, yeah. I'm just a bit better at getting to the starting point of songwriting. I think, you know, stylistically, I don't think I've changed that much. It's just a progression along a road. You know, you sort of put one foot in front of the other, and you find yourself, you know, being propelled forwards, and you discover things as you go. And in that sense, yeah, you're always developing, you're always changing.
What do you think it is that keeps you on the path of exploration?
Well, you know, excitement, you know, interest. I always want to see what's around the next corner, I suppose. And I find, you know, that there's not that many people in my particular field, which is sort of, you know, English/Celtic-based popular music. There's not that many people doing it. There's not many people writing in that field. So, to me, there's lots more to explore.
Most recently, I've read about you in a book called All the Mad Men.
Sounds rather worrying.
Well, not at all, actually. It gives you a clean bill of health.
Oh, thank God for that. Okay.
But not that mad. Yeah, it kind of suggests in a vague way that because you knew Nick Drake and other guys of that time, in fact, you played famously on Only Five Leaves Left, didn't you? That you kind of had an awareness that you had to keep to your musical path because there was sanity there, and if you let go of that, then there was an abyss. Do you think that's true?
Could be. I mean, I've never quite seen it in those terms, but I was definitely aware, particularly, you know, in the 60s, you know, the mid to late 60s, where you saw people kind of veer off, sometimes drug-related, you know. You see people just lose their minds, literally. We all know musicians, quite famous musicians, who basically lost it, you know, through, you know, drug abuse of various kinds. Acid was particularly, I think, a problem.
But you think it was music that got you through all those days?
Well, I think so, yeah. Perhaps it's more than just music. You know, it's a certain attitude. It's a certain desire to be useful, I think. You know, to be a useful part of culture. And to be useful means that you keep yourself alive and you keep yourself healthy. You know, there's other ways of approaching the same thing, you know, where you're kind of on the edge, you know. But I think there's ways to be on the edge and be kind of sober at the same time. And you know, artists, whoever they are, they're really supposed to be on the edge of society. You know, you're supposed to be part of society. You're supposed to be far enough away from it that you can criticize it and see it clearly for what it is. So that's a kind of a goal to stay in that place, you know.
Thanks very much to Richard Thompson. It's just so great being able to talk to one of your lifelong heroes. But now I'm meeting another lifelong hero. It's none other than saxophonist Pete Wareham, who's here with his band Melt Yourself Down. We're backstage at the moment. You're about to go on stage.
I am indeed.
So tell me, Pete, it was you who invented acoustic Ladyland. This time, what have you invented?
Melt Yourself Down. You know, this is people music.
People music. Yeah. And is it music for people to dance
yeah,
to?
Primarily. Just to get down and melt.
And what kind of influences have possessed you this time? Because you're the composer
just
for the
a kind
band,
of,
really,
same as always, just a kind of melange of all the things I've been listening to the last kind of 18 months, really.
So I think there's some Ethiopian jazz in there, isn't there?
Quite a lot of mostly Nubian sort of Egyptian stuff, really, and some Algerian influences as well.
Okay, now I understand there's going to be dueling saxes. So who is this that you're going to be dueling against?
This is Shabaka Hutchins, who plays saxophone and Melt Yourself Down.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi, Shabaka. So what's it like playing with this band? I think last time we saw you, you were in a total improvisation mode with Kit Downs.
Yeah,
this time?
It's great, because I get to just see if we can out-sax each other. You know, who can melt the hardest. And it all ends up being a big party, because no one wins. We all just collapse by the end of the gig.
Okay, so who's in the band tonight?
Kushal Gaya on vocals, Satin Singh on percussion, Johnny Dayath on drums, who's stepping for Tom Skinner, Ben Hazelton on bass, who's stepping for Ruth Goller, myself and Shabaka.
Now, isn't that a very big band to have on the road in these days?
It's great having a band of six people, because like, I'm used to being in a band of four or five. So I don't know, that extra person, there's always kind of something going on. It's quite good fun.
Excellent. Well, we're really looking forward to this. So it's time to step out on stage and melt yourself down. Seize the time.
Thank you.
Hot that! Hot that! Hot that! Hot that! Hot that! Hot that!
A lean, mean, keen set there from Melt Yourself Down here at the Latitude Festival. Well, that's it for Lake Junction tonight, but we'll be back tomorrow night with more music from our stage here at the Lavish Lounge at the festival. Electronica from Wolves versus Daphne Oram. Virtuosic duo playing from Mick Flower and Chris Corsano. And prog jazz from Troika. I'm Max Reinhardt. Good night, and thanks for listening.
Hello, I'm John Shea, and welcome to another edition of Through the Night on BBC Radio 3. Chamber music from Swedish radio fills the first hour today. Debussy seems to have been the first composer to think of grouping flute, viola and harp together, and almost any piece written for them since then has to acknowledge that, as we'll hear later. Anders Jonhell, Erika Nylund and Lisa Vigier start with Debussy's sonata, composed in 1915. Flute and harp is a combination with some tradition behind it, and the viola waits a few bars before joining them, as though recognising the extra flavour it's adding to the mix. And look out for the Tristan chord from Wagner's opera once the pace quickens too.
Thank you.